Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, he collapsed during a routine night shift and saw his body from above. What he experienced in the 2 minutes that followed changed how he sees death forever.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Thank you so much for listening. And if you have a real ghost story, please share it with us. You can call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like to be a premium subscriber, get no commercials, advance episodes, access to the archive, you can sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon, how is it going?
Well, it's going pretty well. I'm fascinated about this intro about somebody in a kind of a near death or death experience, actually.
Well,
possibly
it's near death because he wrote in.
So, well, he wrote in, but he might have been dead.
Yes,
for a minute.
Could have been. I guess could have been. He didn't stay dead.
You know, but didn't stay there. And I've, you know, of course, I've never had anything nearly like that. But closest thing I would say is I've had dreams where I watched my body do some, you know, saw my body.
I think a near death experience. And I've talked to several people who have had them on the Grave Talks.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think it changes everyone who's had one. Because when you think about it, for a moment in time, whether it was a minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes, whatever it was, you were straddling two worlds.
Yeah.
You were half here and you were half there, or maybe you were all the way there. And then, you know, I just find them fascinating. Sometimes people will see a loved one or they're going to something that feels really comfortable and familiar to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, no, you can't do this. Like someone they love or somebody of authority will tell them that.
Yeah. There's always somebody that says, no, you can't. It's, you know, it's not right. You can't stay here right now.
But I've talked to people who, after they had one, like they became extremely sensitive and, you know, it kind of opened them up to a lot of knowing things.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, to me, that just totally makes sense that if you've had that experience, that you've been basically to the other side through the veil, whatever we want to call it, that you would have some ability then.
Yeah, and I just find them interesting because there's people who don't know each other, and there's some similarities in a lot of these stories. I would say 90% of the stories have some very strong similarities to them.
So fascinating.
Like how they kind of experience similar things.
Yeah.
So this one is, it says, I've gone back and forth about sending this in. It is not a ghost story, and it's not something I usually talk about. It's also hard to explain without sounding dramatic, and it didn't feel dramatic when it happened. It felt very quiet. Happened in 2013. I was 34 at the time, working nights as a warehouse supervisor. Nothing glamorous, long hours, forklifts, concrete floors, fluorescent lighting. I had been doing that job for years, and I was used to being tired, used to running on caffeine and weird sleep schedules. That night wasn't unusual. It was actually pretty slow. Around 3 a.m., I started feeling off. Not sharp chest pain like you see in the movies. Just a heavy pressure and this weird lightheaded feeling. I figure I'd skipped a meal or overdone the energy drinks, and I sat down in the break room thinking it would pass, but it didn't. I remember standing up to go grab some water, and the next thing I can remember clearly is the ceiling. I was on my back staring at the ceiling lights, except I wasn't. That's the part of me that still confuses me. I was seeing the ceiling, but not from the floor. It felt like I was near it. And I don't mean floating in a dramatic way. There was no wind or sensation of lifting. It was more like my perspective changed, like someone moved a camera from one angle to another. Below me, I could see my body on the ground near the break room table. One of my coworkers was kneeling next to me, shaking me. Someone else was on the phone. I remember thinking very calmly, oh, that's not good. There was no panic. That's the weird part. I should have been terrified. I should have been fighting to get back in my body or screaming or something. Instead, I felt detached. Not cold, not euphoric, just detached. Like I was observing something that wasn't fully mine anymore. Then everything shifted. The warehouse disappeared, the ceiling, the lights, the noise, gone. It wasn't like I traveled somewhere. It was more like everything else fell away. There wasn't a tunnel. There wasn't static. There wasn't a bright flash. It was just quiet. Not empty quiet, not dark quiet, just quiet in a way I've never experienced before. Like all background noise of existence was turned off. And I wasn't alone. I didn't see anyone standing in front of me. There wasn't a figure with a robe or a familiar face, but there was a presence. I don't know how else to say that without sounding like I'm trying to write poetry. There was just an awareness that something else was there with me, not looming, not judging, just present. And I remember thinking, so this is it. Not in a sad way, not in a relieved way, just accepting. And I felt something I've never felt before or since. Complete understanding. Not knowledge like facts and data. More like understanding about my own life. Why certain things happened. Why certain relationships mattered. Why some of the things I stressed about were completely irrelevant. It wasn't a slideshow of my life. It wasn't a review. It was more like perspective. The best comparison I can make is this. Imagine worrying about something small, like a scratch on your car, then zooming out and seeing the entire city from above. The scratch is still there, but it doesn't carry weight anymore. That's what it felt like about everything, money, career, ego, arguments I held on to for years. They just didn't matter in the way I thought they did. What mattered was very simple, how I treated people, whether I showed up when it counted, whether I chose honesty when lying would have been easier. None of this was spoken to me in words. It was just understood. At some point, I had the sense that I could stay in that quiet. There wasn't a door, there wasn't a line, there wasn't someone saying choose, but there was a clear fork, for lack of a better term. I could let go of the warehouse, the body on the floor, the life I knew, or I could go back. And here's the thing, staying felt easy. There was no pain, no heaviness, no confusion. Going back felt like gravity. I remember thinking about my sister, not in a dramatic, I have to go back for her way, just her face, a normal memory of her laughing at something stupid I'd said weeks earlier. The memory felt heavier than everything else. And then I was falling. That's the closest word I can use, falling fast. There was no tunnel, but there was motion and there was impact. Not physical impact, awareness snapping back in. And the first sensation was pain in my chest, then noise, then someone yelling my name. I opened my eyes to the fluorescent lights I'd been staring at earlier, only now they were blinding and too bright. I later found out that my heart had gone into a dangerous rhythm, not a full cardiac arrest, but close enough that it could have gone that way. I was unconscious for a short time, less than 2 minutes, they told me. 2 minutes. That quiet felt longer than that. Physically, I recovered, medication, lifestyle changes, all the normal stuff doctors tell you. I still have to be careful, but I'm fine. The part I don't talk much about is the shift afterward. I didn't become ultra religious. I didn't join a spiritual movement. In fact, if anything, I stepped away from rigid beliefs. Before that night, I thought of death in terms of either religious reward or nothingness. I was raised to believe one specific version of what happens after you die. What I experienced didn't line up neatly with any of it. It didn't feel like heaven in the way I was taught. It didn't feel like judgment. It didn't feel like punishment or even reward. It felt like returning to something neutral and bigger than labels. I don't walk around claiming I know what's after this life. I don't argue with skeptics. If someone tells me it was just my brain misfiring under stress, I can't disprove that. But I know how it felt. It felt more real than a dream, more coherent than a hallucination, and more peaceful than anything I've ever experienced this side of consciousness. The biggest change is subtle. I don't chase the same things anymore. I still work. I still pay bills. I still get annoyed at traffic. But there's a layer underneath it all now, like I know none of this is the full picture. And strangely, that makes me less afraid of death than I used to be. Not because I'm eager for it, just because I don't think it's the cliff I once thought it was. Anyway, that's my experience. I know near-death stories can sound similar when you line them up, but this one is mine. I wasn't looking for it. I didn't read about them beforehand. It just happened, and it left me feeling different. Thank you for letting me share, Ryan. That is a profound story in so many ways.
And I don't even know that we need to add to it. It's perfect just the way he submitted it and his views about things. And I have to say, I truly hope he's correct.
I actually found some peace in that story. I'm like,
me too.
It kind of gives me hope, you know, that there is something on the other side of all of this that makes some freaking sense.
That's peaceful.
Yeah.
Because, and I do think that there is an element that, as I've noticed as I get older, a lot of things start to kind of peel away. In the way he's talking about here, that things you used to think were a big deal aren't. And I think it's just natural that you would gradually start to go a little more introspective the older you get. You know, every day you're closer to death. And so you begin to think about things that are more important. It feels like Ryan just was put, like, he was very young, 34, that he kind of jumped a lot of the hurdles that, you know, are placed in our way, get the more perspective that he talked about over things. And I think, isn't that what kind of we all aim for? But he actually got to feel it,
mm-hmm.
and know it more. But I just, he's so right that, you know, and I notice the older I get, things that would have used to make me crazy don't. I'm like, whatever, you know. The light will change, the cars will move, you know, it will happen. No sense getting worked up about it. And I think that he's right. I hope that I have that same experience.
Yeah, I just thought it was beautiful, actually, and it makes you really stop and think. And there are several similarities to other stories that you've heard. I don't think there are any two that are exactly alike, but it's that mm-hmm. feeling of peace and mm-hmm. familiarity mm-hmm. and that you kind of want to go that way.
Yeah.
Not kind of, I think very much. And then that kind of going back into your body thing, I've heard it kind of described like that. Like it was like some slam sort of thing. Boom, mm-hmm. there you are back again.
And oftentimes in those stories, they say something brought him back. And in Ryan's case, maybe it was his sister. He saw his sister's face.
That's kind of what I thought too.
And it feels like maybe he needed to come back for her for some, you know, some reason. I'm not sure exactly. It may, you know, and maybe down the road there will be a reason that she's going to really need him. But I think it's that they usually do refer to something that makes them either go back, or they remember, you know, a person or something that they go back for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a great story. Mm-hmm.
It sure was.
That was profound. How do you, and there's no way you live through that and it doesn't change who you are.
Yeah. It kind of changed me a little bit.
No, it was a great story.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to this caller.
Hi, this is Sandy and I live in Iowa, and I have quite a few ghost stories from over the years. The latest was, actually it's second to the latest, but it was one of the more dramatic ones. We are actually foster parents, so I've listened to you guys' show for at least 3 years. But the latest one had to do with one of our foster kids. We had gotten her when she was about 15, and she left right before she was 18. But I had talked to her at one point about that I kept having a dream of a little girl that was downstairs basically just walking around in our hallway. And I had this dream at least 5 or 6 times before this girl came to our home. And we were out in the kitchen one time, and I didn't realize the girl saw spirits. And I started talking about this dream of this little girl, about 10, 12 years old, and with really long blonde hair, really full, really flowing, really all the way down to her butt. And I started talking about it, and our foster child said, yeah, she's a spirit that lives down in your basement. I was like, oh, shit. And I actually had one of my older sons was visiting our house at the time. And so before I said anything else to the foster daughter, I pulled my son, who was like 29, 30 years old, out in the garage, and I described this little girl that I kept seeing 5 or 6 times in the house. I pulled him out so the foster girl wasn't in earshot, couldn't hear what I was describing. Took my son out in the garage, and I'm like, I described what I kept seeing in my dream. And it was a girl about 10 years old, the long blonde hair. And I described her dress. It was like just past the knee, a couple layers of ruffles at the bottom, white, very, like, not really, really old, like from the 80s is what I described. And very vivid, you know, what she looked like, what she was wearing, all that. We come back in, and I had my foster daughter describe what she said this girl looked like that lived in our house, what the ghost girl looked like that lived in our house. And she described the exact same thing. Same dress, same color of the dress, same ruffles on the dress, everything. Everything was the exact same thing. And she said the little girl would come up and usually hung up downstairs, but she'd come up and sit at the table while we were eating, that type of thing. She'd sit and play at the stairs and turn the spindles on our stairs at times, which the spindles are metal and they'd twist and you could, they'd change directions and stuff at times. Not that we'd see, but I'd come and hear the spindles would be turned. But we have a lot of kids, so the other kids could be doing that. It was just weird that she described this girl exactly the same that I described her. And I was outside with my son, and she was in here, so she couldn't have heard it. Anyway, that's my one story. And like I said, I have multiple stories because it's just weird that I see or things happen. So I will call back with the other stories. All right, thank you. Bye.
Thank you for that story. So what do you think about that one?
Was she saying she actually saw this girl or she was seeing her in a dream?
Dream.
It sounds to me like she did an experiment and got a witness involved and then had the foster girl, you know, say, okay, so what is it you're seeing? And when she said it, she described perfectly what the woman told her son she'd seen. It seems like a pretty good experiment to me.
Yeah, actually, it really was.
It sounds like Sandy is getting some sort of weird dreams about her. So that kind of suggests to me that Sandy herself has some sensitivity. But the girl, the foster girl, just plain sees dead people.
Mm-hmm. And I do want to say this off topic, but someone like her taking in foster kids, I really appreciate that, giving them a safe place to be.
Yeah.
You know, even though they're encountering ghosts.
Yeah. Even though you have ghosts in your house, Andy.
It still sounds like a safe place to be. But
and it doesn't sound like the foster girl was particularly shook up about it. It seemed like it was just kind of run of the mill for her.
I know, right? It's just, yeah. It was interesting. Well, if you have a real ghost story and you'd like to share it with us, you know we would love to hear it. All you have to do is leave us a voicemail, 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. And you could also become a premium subscriber, get the advanced episodes, access to the archive, and no commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts, or you can go to patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.